Good morning. Good to be here again this morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from Ezekiel chapter 36. I was studying the Sunday school lesson last Sunday morning, and it talked in there about regeneration. So I studied up on that this week some, and I'd like to just share with you what I learned a little bit. There's verse 26 says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh." And that verse, just, I like that verse. It's a promise that God will do for us. So let's just read Ezekiel 36, starting with verse 21, and I'll read to the end of the chapter. It says, "But I had pity on mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem. In her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with the flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord." I can just hear the heart of God in this chapter. He wants to take his people, give them a new heart, and bless them. In studying this and thinking about this, it's always been interesting to me how that in the medical field, a doctor can take a person and cut him open and take his heart out and put someone else's heart in and hook it all up, and it works. It's just, to me, that's just amazing that they have learned how to do that. But what's even more amazing to me is how God can take a stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. He can take someone that's rough and has lived a terrible life and turn it into something clean and pure. He can take a person that's maybe has not done that many things that are so bad and turn it into something really good. And I guess one thing that growing up on the farm, we would always butcher chickens every year. And I don't know why I had to think of this. It's just something that always fascinated me. We would butcher the chickens, and maybe we'd do it a little different than some of you, but we would skin them. And, of course, when there's boys, there's always competition, and we would try to see who could do it the fastest. Well, we learned that if you're really fast at it, you could cut the chicken's head off and skin it and gut it and pull the heart out. And his heart, you could hold it there in your hand, and it's still bumping away for maybe almost a minute. But we never figured out how to put it back in and keep it going. It was just something that's always fascinated me. So I looked at that a little bit. And I'd like to just share with you this morning maybe a hypothetical illustration, if there is such a thing. If you can just picture a little boy or little girl that's born into a family and both parents have a heart disease. They know it, and they inherited it from their parents, from the little child's grandparents, and they know that their children are going to have this heart disease. It's just the way it is. It's life. So anyway, this little child is born, and things seem normal. Life seems pretty much normal for this little child, and he grows up, and you don't really notice a whole lot of difference. But if you look close, you can see that he can't quite keep up. He gets tired easily. A small load holds him down. He doesn't have energy like he should. But life goes on, and he copes with it. He puts up with that disease that he has, or heart defect in his heart. Finally, at about the age of 10, 12, maybe 14 or 16, it could even be 20 years old, till he really notices that he has got a problem. This issue is causing him problems. So he talks to his parents about it, and they explain everything to him, and they tell him what the procedures are for curing this problem with his heart. And he doesn't like what he hears. He says, you know, the risks are too big. That sounds too scary to me. To give up my heart, I can't do that. And but they talk to him, and they try to convince him, you know, this is the right thing to do. We know it's a problem here, but we know a doctor that can take care of this issue. In fact, he changed our hearts. He gave us new hearts, and we're fine. And in fact, he's such a good doctor that he replaced the hearts of your grandparents, and he can do your heart too. Maybe you can see a little bit where this is going to. But the little boy says, no, this doesn't look like a good thing to do. Just too much risk, and he's not sure that he can trust this doctor. So he decides he's just going to ignore the problem, and maybe it'll go away. Maybe he can get around it on his own. So time goes on, and he tries to just ignore this problem. But it's not working very well. This heart issue keeps coming up, and it holds him back. It keeps him from, he doesn't feel good. He's sick a lot, and it's just wearing him down. So he gets on an exercise program. He goes to the gym every Tuesday and every Thursday, thinking that maybe he can build up his own heart. He can make it on his own. Maybe if he goes on a strict diet of fruits and vegetables, he can overcome this problem. Or maybe if he's really, really careful with his health, he can watch it close enough and get enough nutrients and vitamins and minerals and all that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. He can heal his own heart. So he tries that for a while, but that doesn't work either. It just seems like the more things he tries, the worse his heart gets. And, of course, his parents are very concerned about him and his friends. They try to convince him that he needs to go see the doctor. So finally, he decides, you know, he's going to look up some statistics on heart transplants and just see what he can find. So he looks, and there's three, most of the time, 4,000 people in the U.S. that are waiting for a heart transplant. And he starts thinking up all kinds of excuses, you know, that there's no chance that I'll ever get in there. There's way too many people ahead of me. And let's see here, there's what's the survival rate of heart transplant recipients? 2014 register of heart transplant patients, it says 87% live to the first year, 75% live 5 years, and 57% live to 10 years. And he thinks, that's just not all that great of percentage. The success rate is not just all that good. But he doesn't think about the fact that 100% of the people that don't do this operation live only a few short years. And oh, look at this. They've got the average cost of a heart transplant here. It's $800,000. $800,000 for a heart transplant. His Uncle Jim just sold his farm and offered to pay his debt. But he just can't hardly stand that. He says, you know, that's too much money. I don't want to spend all of Uncle Jim's money on myself. It's just, I can't do that. All that expense just for me. And then he thinks the worst thing about it all, the thing that he just can't handle, is that there has to be a donor for him. Someone has to give his heart for him. And he can't handle that. But finally, after more years go by, and finally this young person sees that there is no other way. There's only one way that he can have life. And so he goes to the doctor, and sure enough, there's a donor there. There's someone that gave a heart for him. And the surgery goes well. Everything goes fine. The doctor is well pleased with the surgery. And after recovery, this young person, he feels totally different. His life has changed. Something has happened in his heart, to his heart. He has a new heart. And his outlook on life has completely, totally changed. But there's one thing that the doctor really warns him about. He says, because you have a new heart, this is not, you know, this is from someone else. This is not your own flesh and blood. Your body, your flesh is going to resist this heart. It's going to always try to, it's going to try to get rid of it. And because of that, you're going to have to take this medicine for the rest of your life. And I think that's where we find ourselves today a lot. Most of us here have accepted this new heart. God has given us a new heart. And but yet, at times, we find our flesh resisting this new heart that God has given us. But if we take our medicine, what is that medicine? If we take that medicine every day, it will cause us not to resist the gift of the new heart that God has given us. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful and above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So I think you would all agree that we've all been born with this defect in our heart, this sin that's so natural to us. We all have that. We've been born with that. There's no way around it. And without this surgery, our short lives will soon be over, and it's nothing but death. I might just add here that when the Bible talks about our heart, it isn't necessarily talking about this muscle in our chest that's pumping blood. It has a broader meaning. In relation to people, it means the very center, the core of our being. It's who our heart is, who we are. It's the seat of our personality. And also the Bible links our heart with our spirit. like it says here in our theme verse in Ezekiel, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. Back to this person that had the heart transplant in the story here. You know, he's going to do everything that he possibly can to take good care of this heart. He's going to eat the right thing, what his doctor tells him, and he's going to make sure that he takes this medication that the doctor told him to take. He's going to take it like his life depends on it, because really it does. His life depends on how he treats his heart and cares for it. And I think this can be compared to us taking our spiritual medication, and that would include taking the pure, undiluted Word of God every day to feed our hearts, to keep that heart to keep ourselves, to keep our flesh from trying to get rid of that new heart. So what are some things that we can be doing for our new hearts, the hearts that God has given us? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. It's like we're going to do everything that we can to keep our heart. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So I think it would do us good if we could keep a log of the things that God has done for us, the prayers that he's answered, and then not only for our good, but teach them to our sons and to our sons' sons, our children and to our grandchildren. Another thing that we can do for our heart is to keep it pure. And I realize that it's only by the grace of Jesus and through his blood that we can do these things, that we can keep our hearts pure. But there is some things that we need to be doing that we can do to keep our hearts. 2 Timothy 2:22 tells us, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So flee and follow. Flee temptations, lusts that want to get us, and follow righteousness and faith and love and peace. Follow those things. Know what your limits are and set up boundaries. In this day and age, there's a lot of things out there, that a lot of places that we can go. And I would just encourage all of us to set those limits, set those boundaries that we don't dare cross, so that we can protect our hearts and keep them safe. One of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's a promise. That's a wonderful promise that we have if we keep our hearts pure. When God takes away our stony heart and gives us a soft heart, he warns us in Psalms 95. It says not to harden our hearts like the children of Israel did in the wilderness when they were tempted, when they were tried. They hardened their hearts against God. And God had to deal pretty harshly with them when they hardened their hearts. Let's not do that when difficult things come into our lives. There's two things we can either do. We can harden our heart against God, or we can allow him to work in our heart, allow our hearts to be soft, he can work with us. You know, you can put a chocolate cake in the oven and it comes out nice and soft. Or you can put a lump of clay in the oven and it comes out as hard as a rock. They both went through the same treatment, but the chocolate cake stays soft and the clay is hard as a rock. I guess our hearts need to be like a chocolate cake. In closing, I'd just like to go back to Ezekiel 36 and read verses 22 and 23. It says, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." So like I said earlier, God wanted to get a hold of their hearts. He wanted to get into their inner being, their innermost self, and change that and make it to something that he could use. But he wanted to do it not only for their good, but also so that the people around him could see that he was God. And I just had to think, I know God still wants to do that today. He wants to get a hold of my heart, get a hold of our hearts, and make them soft, and make so that the people around us can see God through our hearts and know that it's for our good and for his glory. So even though we've been born with this heart defect, our hearts are bad from the very beginning, we all know who the great physician is. And I'm just so thankful that if we follow his prescription, we have 100% chance of living forever. And I just want to thank and praise him for that. I'll close with that. If maybe somebody has a testimony.